recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty.
In. Yeah, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Erwig, Corey LeBounty, Ian Blair with you on this March Madness Monday night. And boy, has it been a mad last 4 days, March Madness? I don't know. It's been maybe the craziest March Madness I've ever seen. And on to talk about it, just like always, we have, well, Ian Blair on the board, but Corey LeBounty joining us on the phone line tonight. It's been a strange few weeks, Corey. It's been rare that we've been in the studio together, but you join us on the phone tonight, so I couldn't ask for anything better except maybe getting into studio next week, right?
No question about it. Looking forward to getting back into the swing of things and seeing you guys, and definitely anteing up on my bet with Ian, because I got to bring in that Gatorade for him that I owe him.
Yes, yeah, he will not let me forget that you owe him Gatorade. I can't even remember, what was that bet? That was a Super Bowl bet, right?
That was the Super Bowl.
So oh, I definitely Corey. Have to pay up Ian on that bet that I did lose to him. So I will be coming into the studio, Lord willing, next week, and I will definitely pay up on that one.
Yeah, Tom Brady
will be in my prayers at the top of the list.
Tom Brady's already talking about Super Bowl VIII, and Corey still hasn't paid up Super Bowl VII from Brady. So we'll get around to that, but I know that both of you, and pretty much everyone I know, has been watching March Madness this year. I got to say, really strange. I'm used to a Thursday-Friday first round, and then second round takes up the entirety of the weekend. It's really weird seeing second round games played on a Monday, but, you know, it fits. It's been a weird year in basketball anyway.
It really has, Dalton. Anytime you're having an opportunity to get in a full slate of basketball on a Monday, you know, you're used to, like you said, ending on a Sunday and then having that opportunity to wait until that Thursday or Friday to resume the Sweet 16. But here it is, trying to get teams into the Sweet 16 and complete that second round of action. And it's been a tremendous tournament. You mentioned it. It's probably on top of COVID-19 and the tournament being canceled 1 year ago, you can definitely see the longing for and the yearning for March Madness. And you can see the reason why so many people are disappointed when their season ended a year ago, because there's such special stories and all these double-seeded teams. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have a 15 taking on an 11 to go to the Sweet 16, that type of thing just does not happen. But when it does happen, it can only happen in March Madness.
Yeah, and with all these double-digit seed teams winning, you know, I'm looking at my bracket down here, which it should be shredded, or I should have lit this thing on fire after like the first two games of the tournament, because I was pretty much done after that. And, you know, every year I say I'm going to pick more upsets. There's always more than one 12 seed that makes it into the second round. You always see 10s beating 7s, definitely 9s beating 8s. But every year I tell myself I'm going to fill out more upsets in my bracket, and then I don't. Or if I do, it's the completely wrong ones. It seemed like this year that there were more upsets than I've ever seen before. And at least one person, you know, put out the stats and say that there have been already more upsets in this tournament than there ever has been previously. I guess some NCAA record, I don't know, prognosticators, they say it only counts as a true tournament upset if you're more than 5 seeds lower than the team you defeat. And going by that criteria, they said already this year there have been more upsets than any NCAA tournament in the past. And just, I mean, I think 9 double-seeded teams moved on to the second round. We've already seen a few more make it into the third round. So Oral Roberts, I think, maybe the biggest story of the tournament, if Loyola Chicago isn't. Oral Roberts is certainly right there with them. Oregon State, a 12 seed, they've advanced. North Texas, a 13 seed. Rutgers, a 10 seed. Syracuse, 11. Maryland, 10. Ohio, 13. UCLA, 11. And then you have Abilene Christian right now, who's on the court, a 14 seed. So, Corey, I mean, pretty unreal wins this year.
It's been phenomenal, Dalton. If you're a basketball junkie like myself, I know my best friend Gene Smith, he said his bracket went up in smoke on the first day. And, you know, 32 games being played in that first round of action, 22-10 is where I wound up being after the first round. The first day, I have 3 out of 4 teams still alive in my Final Four bracket. Of course, Illinois, I think, shattered a lot of people's brackets, along with Ohio State. But just great March Madness basketball. And you know, if you were to tell me that the Pac-12 would be the undefeated team in the NCAA tournament right now, I would say no, there's no way. And they have been that, and they are playing dominant basketball right now.
How many teams did the Pac-12 end up with in the tournament?
And I'll say, I know right now they're currently 7-0.
Really?
So it has to be at least 7 teams right there. Maybe 4 or 5. I would have to go back and take a look at it, but at least 4 or 5 teams from the Pac-12, and they're just playing tremendous basketball. And Oregon State, a team that was picked to finish last, comes away and finds a way to get it done. And Colorado embarrassing Georgetown the way that they did. Mm-hmm. The geography is kind of off on that. But when you start looking at the dominance of these teams, it's been special.
Yeah, I'd say of the Pac-12 teams, USC maybe, I think they may have ended the regular season off ranked the highest. But right now, Oregon looks like the team to me, the team to beat coming out of the Pac-12. They looked really good against Iowa early today. I think a 15-point win for Oregon. And I don't believe if Oregon does move on and maybe plays in the Final Four or the championship, they would for sure be, I think, the first team to make it that far without playing a first-round game, because they got right on by VCU. We were wondering if COVID-19 would play a role in any of this, and that was the one game from the first round that was canceled. And because it came more than 48 hours after Selection Sunday, they just let Oregon move ahead. But they looked really good today against Iowa.
I mean, and you look at Luka Garza. If you had not had an opportunity to watch this young man's career at Iowa, you will see why he will be the College Basketball Player of the Year. I think he scored over 30 points today in that loss for Iowa, but he couldn't hold the Hawkeyes down by himself. And Oregon just looked fresh. You look at them losing and not having played for over 10 days, and sometimes that can hurt your team, but in the second half, like Coach said, it can keep your guys fresh, and they look fresh in the second half. And winning by 15 points is always impressive.
Yeah, so I'd say of the Power 5 conferences, Pac-12, most underrated going into the tournament. And then I'll be honest, I had Purdue making it into my Final Four. That didn't last longer than the first round. I really thought the Big Ten would maybe be the strongest of the Power 5 conferences. I mean, we saw Michigan ranked in the top 5 all year. We saw Ohio State. There were a few other, Illinois. They worked their way up there a lot. So I was pretty surprised that the Big Ten did as poorly as they have. And are there even any Big Ten teams left? I know Illinois lost. You had Ohio State lose early, right?
Michigan State lost early.
Michigan
as well.
State lost
Purdue
early.
Purdue loses. Iowa loses. You start talking about just not the type of showing that they really expected, and I know I didn't expect them to really lay an egg here in the first and second rounds the way that they have.
Yeah, Michigan, they're playing LSU right now, so that might be the final Big Ten team remaining would be Michigan, because Wisconsin lost to Baylor. So that was pretty surprising also. But the SEC kind of 500 right now. Some of the teams looked really bad. One of those being the Tennessee Vols. They were out first thing, just a pathetic showing by the Vols against Oregon State in the first round. Missouri, I think that might have been expected for them to lose to Oklahoma the way they did. I had that as kind of a toss-up game. But now we move on to Florida, who lost in the second round to that 15 seed we were discussing, Oral Roberts. And then today, Arkansas moved on yesterday, and then we'll get Bama tonight and LSU playing right now. So a bit of a 500 showing from the SEC so far.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the disappointment by the Tennessee Volunteers in regards to the way they finished, because, again, they blow that big-time lead in the SEC semifinals against Alabama. And, I think that going into the season, Dalton, you being one of the most diehard Tennessee Volunteer fans that I do know, the expectations were very high for Tennessee basketball. And the way that Rick Barnes and them, their poor performance was very evident in the tournament, mm-hmm. And I thought that they would play with a little bit more passion and excitement the way that they did not play and having that first-round loss. But other than that, I mean, you start looking at the way and the confidence that LSU plays with and Arkansas making it to the Sweet 16. Alabama's going to have their hands full. But overall, the SEC has really done a great job, and it just goes to show Florida did not lose to a fluky Oral Roberts team, and this Oral Roberts team is for real. And when you start looking at their matchup next, the SEC overall has had a good showing.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, when we get back, I know you wanted to kind of go over the women's tournament, and yes, we'll talk about that picture that went viral, the women's tournament versus the men's. Coming back, more Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, Ian Blair with you on this March Madness Monday night. I want to remind everyone, Nappy nomination period. It's the Lanyap Nappy Awards nomination month. I think they go through the end of the month, so like maybe a week and a half left. And if you have happened to nominate, well, any of the shows on FM Talk 106.5, thank you. But specifically right now, Corey, and Corey wanted me to say this on the air. This is all Corey, but he said we need more Sports Night votes, more Sports Night nominations. So I think we have, a week and a half left in that, and Corey did not put me up to that. That was all me groveling now for votes because and I said this last week, you weren't with us, Corey, but it's all about beating Eli Gold to me. That's
yes.
It feels like that's my purpose on earth, is to win that one Lanyap Nappy for sports show and beat out Eli Gold.
I tell you what, that's the only time that you'll probably hear Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, and Eli Gold mentioned in the same categories. And if we had an opportunity to defeat them, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I would say so. So we appreciate your votes in that. And I think coming up in April or maybe May will be the actual voting term for the Nappies. Checking out the text line, 251-343-0106. I love the Tennessee trash talk already pouring in that says, how's that Vols football spring season going? FYI, Bama got another running back in the fold. Roll Tide. And we could talk about the next five-star recruit that chose Bama here over these last couple of weeks. But I was expecting, Texter moved right into the Vols football trash talk. Didn't even give me any gruff about the pathetic showing against Oregon State in the first round. So I guess I'll take it if we can forget about what the Vols basketball team did just a few days ago. Another text here from Daniel. Maryland is Big Ten, and how could I forget? The team Alabama takes on tonight is one of the two teams remaining that's from the Big Ten Conference. You worried about that one at all tonight, Corey? Are you nervous at all?
I'll be honest with you, Dalton. I really am. I'm concerned with the ability for the Crimson Tide to hold on because, again, you start looking at your last five games that Alabama's played, and it was a struggle win against LSU. It was a struggle win against Tennessee, and you really hammered Mississippi State the way that you were supposed to in the SEC tournament. But you start looking at the way that Alabama really finished the season, and it didn't finish the season the way it really wanted to because Arkansas started playing great basketball along with Missouri. But I am worried about the game. I think Petty is due for a big-time outscoring, a performance to where he just puts up major numbers. I know he really struggled shooting the ball, 3 out of 13 maybe, in the last game against Iona, but Maryland's one of those teams that traditionally will give you all you can handle, and I want Alabama to have a great scoring performance because they're due for one of those outbreaks where they're just shooting the ball tremendously well.
Yeah, we saw them score triple digits quite a few times this year, if I can remember correctly. Nate Oates really got the offense going for them. Did you? I don't know if we talked about this, but the offensive game has changed so much. And I don't know what happened first, the chicken or the egg, whether it was college first or the NBA. I really think that it was the NBA and the Steph Curry, era when they really started showing out over at Golden State. it's all about the three-point ball or getting to the rim. And I know that's common knowledge nowadays, but, you know, 10 years ago it wasn't. And Nate Oates started playing kind of a new pickup game with his guys where they played to eight. So they were only playing to 8 points. It was 4 points if you take a Steph Curry range three-pointer, 3 points for your standard college men's three-point line, and then you actually only got 1 point from a shot 15 to 20 feet out and 2 points for getting to the rim. And of all the ways that the Alabama basketball team has changed under Nate Oates, that seems to me to be the most evident. Sure, the defense has gotten great, and I think they had the best defense in the entire conference this year, but it's all about the three ball or getting to the rim and getting to the foul line for Bama, and I think that's worked out for him well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge analytics guy, but when you're able to use analytics in your favor the way that Coach Oates has, I think that he's just found a system that works for him, and him being a former high school math teacher, he's made the analytics work for his team, and he understands the percentages and what he wants, and he has the type of players now within his system that understand his type of analytics and the type of game that wants to be played. But you're absolutely right. I think the broadcasters talked about it against Iona and in the SEC tournament that Alabama does not like to take the short jumper. They're either getting to the rim or shooting the three ball, and I think that Alabama is going to really have to shoot the ball extremely well tonight. You're looking at, you know, Maryland coming in averaging 66.4 points per game, Alabama coming in averaging 72.1, and it's going to be fun to watch to see Alabama, to see if they're able to go ahead and get past that first round jitters, and I'm looking forward to it.
I really felt that the SEC tournament and the way that worked out for Bama was exactly what they needed going into the tournament, because you had, first off, the game against Mississippi State, because they had the first-round bye. Mississippi State beats Kentucky, and then it's the Bulldogs versus the Tide, and it was nothing. That was a blowout, easy win for Alabama. Then they fall behind by, was it 15 or 20 to Tennessee, and end up coming back and winning that one, almost going away. And then you had the classic tight game all the way through against LSU for the championship, and they showed they can blow a team out, they can come back from 20 points, and then they can win a tight game against a team that's pretty even with them athletically. I thought that set Bama up great going into the tournament, and then they're only up by one against Iona at the half. I think they shot 31% from three, so they're kind of regressing from shooting that long ball, but they end up winning somewhat comfortably against Iona. Going into this Maryland game, I mean, if shots aren't falling, do you think they have the confidence right now after that last game?
Yeah, I think they do, because defense travels. And I think that, what do I mean by defense travels? That you can always have an off shooting night, but put your hard hat on, and Herbert Jones being the defensive player of the year as well as the SEC player of the year, I think that it all starts with him. And it's contagious. Defense is contagious. You can always sit down and guard and contest shots and rebound. And when you finish that process, great defense leads to early offense. And I think that that's something that Alabama's going to have to do well and can do well against Maryland. But, you know, Maryland, you start looking at their last five games, and they found a way to turn it on late, and it's going to be a fun game tonight to watch.
Yeah, I will say one thing to watch tonight that Maryland is really good at, and that's avoiding fouls. They play really good defense without letting the other guys get to the line, and we'll see if that holds up for them against the Tide tonight, because this will probably be Maryland, one of their top five toughest games of the year for sure. We're talking a little bit about the women's tournament, and we can get into the tournament itself, but I know, Corey, you and I, before the show, were discussing that image that went viral, and I guess it was a video. So you had, what, a women's basketball player that is at the women's tournament in San Antonio, took a picture of the weights that were provided by the NCAA, and then compared that to the weight set the weight room, really, that the men's tournament got, and it was pretty paltry. You had, what, just some hand weights that were left with the women, and then a full-on weight room with squat racks and deadlift and everything for the men's team.
Yeah, it's def- definitely show the disparity, and that should not be the case. I think that everything that the women have given to the game and continue to give to the game, I think that they should be treated equally, especially if 2020 taught us nothing else. It's the word equality. And women's basketball, even though it probably does not generate the type of money and revenue from a professional standpoint, that's why you see the disparity in women's pay in regards to professional sports. But in the NCAA, it's equal because it's a situation where Mark Emmert, who is the president of the NCAA, Jay Billis has bashed him from ESPN, and rightfully so. Dawn Staley's had an opportunity to put her knowledge in as well in regards to Mark Emmert failing the women in regards to this. But, Dalton, when you see that type of thing, I've coached women's basketball for over 20 years, and you want to see growth of the game. And that's not growth of the game because these young ladies and young women shouldn't have to have those type of disparities.
No doubt a bad look for the NCAA. Let's talk about that women's tournament when we get back, Corey. You've got some better insight into this than I do, and we'll discuss it coming back up. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Find yourself a girl and settle.
Well, I was out on a drive on a bit of a trip, looking for thrills to get me some kicks. Now I want you. I was born with a stiff upper lip. Lock it down.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you on this March Madness Monday night. Corey, we were talking about the that viral. I guess it was a viral video that showed the difference in the women's gym setup and the men's and the weights that were involved. And I saw today another story that came out, and it's not surprising at all to me, because I think anyone will tell you that knows honestly that the men's NCAA tournament and men's college basketball brings in a whole lot more eyes and a whole lot more money than the women's side of things. But as you mentioned, we're talking about the NCAA, who refuses to pay their athletes, so they consider the men and women equal in that respect. They're student athletes that are paid through having scholarships. They're not supposed to be paid actual money, but given scholarships and room and board there on campus. So if it's an even playing field and that's how they've determined, the NCAA being they, then you'd think that they would put in an equal amount of respect to the teams that are on both sides. But I thought this was interesting. Wall Street Journal says that March Madness, which we all call this tournament, we call it March Madness, that they've trademarked that, which makes sense. The NCAA has trademarked that, but they have not been letting the women use the term March Madness. If you look at the men's tournament, and we're in commercial right now, the game we're watching with LSU playing, but I believe March Madness is written all over the floor. And when you tune into the games on True TV, TBS, you know, they've got March Madness all over the screen, so many different graphics. And maybe it's because I haven't spent a lot of time watching the women's game be played. I'll fully admit that I haven't been watching them, but it's kind of insane to me that the NCAA is like holding off on using the trademarked March Madness for the women and letting the men use it, and only the men. Did you know about that, Corey?
Yeah. I mean, when you turn in, because of the different sites that they're playing, of course, all the NCAA men's games, you'll see an NCAA floor. Well, some of the women's sites, host schools, are like Texas State and University of Texas, which, of course, is that home floor. They're not bringing in NCAA portable floors. But the one that they're using at the Final Four site for the women's game says NCAA Women's Basketball. It does not say NCAA March Madness. So I did notice that. And you know, it goes along with the disparity not only of the weight room and the use of the swag bag that the NCAA gives all the players was tremendously different. I think the men had a lot more swag in their bags than the women did. The meals have been different for the men and the women. So there's just a tremendous amount of disparity, and shame on the NCAA for not allowing the women to enjoy it. But you mentioned it. Being paid athletes is one thing, but being a student athlete of the NCAA, both men and women should be able to enjoy that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying – I wouldn't say that any particular woman that plays college basketball puts out any less effort than any given man that's playing men's college basketball, but I would – respect the NCAA more if they came out and, you know, were honest about this and said,
yes,
listen, Gonzaga, the men's Gonzaga team makes us a lot more money, a lot more revenue than the women's Gonzaga team, even though both are, I don't know, what the women, they ended up being a five seed, I think, something like that. So not as good, relatively as good as the men's team, but the NCAA, they refused to come out and say that any of these teams individually make them good money and good revenue. So that's kind of a moot point. They won't ever actually come out and say that. But it's been some good basketball in the women's bracket too this year. And traditionally the SEC much better in women's basketball than they are men's. But Corey, what have you seen kind of so far? I think Arkansas, the only women's SEC team to fall so far.
That I love the most, Dalton, is the fact that Alabama women's basketball made a return to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1999.
Wow.
So when you start talking about a 22-year drought of the NCAA tournament, these young ladies weren't even born the last time Rick Moody was able to take the Alabama women's basketball program to the NCAA tournament. They had a huge first-round win today over North Carolina, 80-71. Alabama comes in as a 7 seed, and you mentioned it. It's so much fun to watch the SEC women's basketball play. The only victim of a loss today was the Arkansas Lady Razorbacks. They lose to a 13 seed Wright State team, 66-62. And I'm watching right now Texas A&M play Troy, and that is a 15 seed versus a 2 seed, and Texas A&M is only up 5 points.
Wow.
On Troy right now. But Georgia has done extremely well. Joni Taylor, the SEC Women's Basketball Coach of the Year, she had a huge win today as Georgia defeats Drexel. And you mentioned yesterday the Tennessee Lady Volunteers and Coach Kelly Jolly Harper has done a great job at Tennessee and getting them to where they're winning basketball games in the NCAA tournament again. And it's just a lot of fun to watch the ladies get after it the same way the men do. And it's a game to where, like you said, the SEC is doing so well with the only team that has lost so far being Arkansas today, and everybody else has hung on and held their own for the SEC.
What are the odds? Alabama, they'll take on Maryland next. So the women's team will play Maryland in the, what is that, the Sweet Six? No, that'd be the second round for them. So
yes,
Alabama and Maryland.
No. When you have the same men and women's matchups. And sometimes I think the committees like to look at each other and laugh at one another when they do so. But just a great game. And, you know, if you love women's basketball, I encourage you to turn to ESPN2 right now. As Dalton, your former Troy Trojans are representing the Sun Belt Conference right now as being the lone bid. They did win the Sun Belt Conference tournament, and now they're having an opportunity to tie the game late in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
With the Texas A&M Aggies.
So they're playing the Aggies really close, and that's the lone Sun Belt team in the women's side. We saw the lone Sun Belt team in the men's side. Appalachian State came in one of those first four games and ended up losing to Norfolk State by 1 point. But then Norfolk State got absolutely wiped against Gonzaga. I think a 50-point win for the number one ranked team overall over Norfolk State. Kind of an embarrassing show for the Sun Belt on the men's side of things.
It really was. App State really ran the table. When you start talking about a couple of weeks ago in Pensacola in the Sun Belt Conference tournament, I really thought that Georgia State was going to wind up winning the conference championship and being the lone representative. Was not the case. App State found a way, and again, it's part of that March Madness feeling. It starts with those conference tournaments to where upsets are made, and then it carries over into the NCAA tournament. But I look forward to seeing where the Sun Belt Conference moving forward can get more than one, be a one-bid league. And South Alabama mentioned, speaking of the Sun Belt Conference, had three transfers. players today going the transfer portal from the men's basketball scholarship standpoint, and that makes it tough. When you start talking about Zondrick Garrett from Oxford High School, K.K. Curry, Tyreek LeCour, and Sam Iorio all entering the transfer portal, that's tough on Coach Riley. And I know he has a lot of guys that are coming in from big-time schools such as Auburn and Memphis and LSU, but anytime you have guys that leave your program in mass exodus, South Alabama ended the season only with 8 or 9 scholarship guys as it was. So it's going to be tough for Richie Riley.
Yeah, and it's a new age in college basketball because we've seen Richie Riley do well in the transfer portal. So many of those names you just mentioned came to South through the transfer portal. I think it probably is a good part of the reason why so many double-digit teams pulled upsets this year, just because so many guys are transferring. And if they make it so that it's legal to have a one-time transfer with no penalty, you just go to this next team and start, that's pretty close to an even playing field in college basketball. With South, I'd like to think that they would have performed better than Appalachian State did. No way to know unless they were actually in that spot, but you mentioned it. Coming back from this year, when Riley had maybe 6 or 7 guys he could count on all year long, it's pretty much all they played with, and then to lose at least 3 of those names of those 6 that you saw out on the court every night, K.K. Curry, Tyreek LeCour, and Iorio, that's tough. And then Petway ends up retiring, and Flowers, I think he's probably heading to the NBA, right?
Yeah, I think Flowers is either going to head to the NBA or go ahead and make overseas money. But when you start talking about bringing in guys, Tyrell Jones from Auburn, Charles Manning from LSU, Deontay Smith from TCU, and Lance Thomas from Memphis, all those are big-time programs, Power 5 programs. You're losing guys that are really the heart and soul of what makes non-Power 5 schools so strong in this NCAA tournament. And if you're going to replace them, you just hope that those guys bringing in buy into the team concept and put we over me mentality, but Coach Riley's done an outstanding job and will continue to do so.
He has. All right, enough basketball talk. We're about to run to the break, and then when we come back, Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner, gets weighed in today. People were waiting to see how much Devontae Smith would weigh, and I'll let you know what happened coming back and whether Devontae plans to participate in the Pro Day tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. Coming back, more Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. When I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The hard.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty with you on this Monday night. Ian Blair running the board. Corey, I think this text, I want to say directed at you, but also directed at me, because I feel like this is just more Tennessee Vols fans trash talk. Dave says, is there an all-sports college championship, and is Alabama a contender for the title? Now, tell everybody what you were just telling me over the break, Corey.
I think it's impressive when you start talking about what Dana Duckworth and the Alabama women's gymnastics team were able to accomplish, winning the SEC championship, SEC champions in men's basketball, SEC champions in men's football, all within the calendar year. Now, I know they have that Capital One Cup on ESPN to where Stanford normally wins it, to where it is an overall sports from everything from rowing to basketball, baseball, volleyball, across the board, all sports. And normally Stanford is your winner there. But what Alabama's been able to accomplish, Nate Oates said it the best, it's not just a football school anymore. This is just a school that's winning championships, period, in all sports.
I will say Alabama, pretty pathetic hockey team. When will you get that put together?
I will say that the wheelchair basketball team won the national championship also. So,
really?
I mean, it just continues on and on, Dalton, the tradition.
Well, that's ridiculous. Tennessee can't even win a wheelchair basketball championship. Is that what you're saying?
Hey, man.
That's talent.
Have you ever seen or been to a wheelchair basketball tournament?
It's insane. Yeah. The talent, I mean, I wouldn't last 5 seconds.
No. I mean, the strength of these young men and young ladies is just amazing and phenomenal, and it's so competitive. I mean, because when I've had an opportunity to referee wheelchair basketball, not only has it taught me and opened my eyes to a lot, but, again, the competitive spirit that these college and university wheelchair basketball teams play with, both men and women, it's an exciting sport to watch and referee.
No doubt. I just didn't realize that Alabama's dynasty extended into that sport too. So that's some fantastic news from a fellow SEC fan here. Let's talk about the Heisman winner a little bit and Alabama's Pro Day scheduled for tomorrow. I know we saw the Auburn Pro Day last week. And Devontae Smith, he was here for the Senior Bowl, but I think he was the only player that was down here for the game and for the week of practice that didn't weigh in. You know, we normally have that one weigh-in day where everyone shows up and wears their – they shed down to their skivvies for the scouts and the coaches out there. And Devontae said no this year, that he wasn't going to do that. He did finally reveal his weight earlier today. And, Corey, did you see how much Devontae weighs?
Dalton.
That's right.
But he plays, you know, he plays like he's 220 pounds. And it just goes to show, I think his tape does speak for itself, and he made mention of that.
Yeah, and he said he's not going to work out in the pro day. He's not going to bench. He's not going to run cones. He's not going to do any of that stuff. And, you know, why would you if you're being discussed as a number three overall pick and you're a receiver, which is not – it's not fashionable now to choose receivers that highly. The last I can think of, the Titans selected Corey Davis fifth overall a few years ago and didn't even sign him to a second contract. He ended up going up to the Jets. So it doesn't work out all the time, but I have seen Smith compared to, and I think the comparison that I've made just with my own eyes, Marvin Harrison, like such a skinny guy, but just unbelievable toughness. I don't know if being tough, though, can keep him healthy. We saw him injured a little bit towards the end of the year. 170 pounds is light, Corey.
It is for an NFL-type guy, but I think he'll continue, you know, speed kills. And you can't hit what you can't catch. And I think that's the biggest thing. Just the tremendous hands, the tremendous speed that Devontae possesses. I think that any team that reaches out to him, I think that he is probably the best wide receiver coming out. And I think the numbers speak for themselves. But, again, we'll see if he's able to hold up. And my biggest thing, I just loved watching him play college football, not only because he's just so selfless.
Yeah.
And I think he'll continue to bring not selfishness but selflessness to whatever organization he goes to in the NFL.
Well, you mentioned his speed. And the Auburn Pro Day last week, I think, the one notable thing that came out of their pro day, and they didn't have a ton of players, a lot of graduating seniors. You had K.J. Britt out there. You had Sherwood. But it was Seth Williams and Anthony Schwartz that I think most eyes were on, and Eli Stove. And Schwartz with the 4.26 unofficial 40. So not timed on the Indianapolis field, but still a 4.26, which would have been 1/100th of a second faster than the fastest guy at last year's combine, Henry Ruggs III. So I know Jalen Waddle isn't going to run it. Was he in the discussion? Were we thinking that Waddle might have a faster 40 than Ruggs, or is that not a thing?
You know, I think that it's fun to watch guys compete to see who's the fastest. If you were to ask me out of Ruggs and Waddle, I probably would lean toward Waddle.
Really?
But both of them just have blazing speed, Dalton, and that's just why Alabama was able to rewrite the offensive record books the last couple of years.
Yeah, and we know that 40 time isn't the be-all or anywhere close to the end-all in the NFL because Schwartz had, I think, what, 5 career touchdowns at Auburn? And you take some much slower guys at both Auburn and Alabama who did a whole lot more damage out there on the field. So that was interesting. I think Alabama's pro day tomorrow will be interesting. But also spring practice, as a Bama fan, what are you most interested in? Bryce Young, or who are you looking at for spring practice?
Yeah, it has to be the quarterback position because that's where it's going to start for Alabama. You know, they're going to grow depth-wise defensively, but offensively from a quarterback position, the running back position, the stable is loaded there, so I'm looking forward to that. And from an Auburn standpoint, I'm just looking, and I like the fact that what Coach Harsin did opened up his practice to the public, to the Auburn faithful, letting them get an opportunity before the spring game to lay eyes on this Auburn Tiger team. So it's not something that you'll see probably happen at Alabama, but with the new staff at Auburn, I like that idea.
And I had a bunch of ifs, ands, or buts for NFL. I had a lot of questions for you, but I'll only do this one because we're kind of running out of time here. Who do you think has a better year with all the free agent moves that have been made? Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia or Tua right now in Miami with some weapons that they added for him?
I like Jalen Hurts. I really do. I think that he's going to settle down, and I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, and
you
I
are.
Want to see Tua do well, and I hope the Dolphins keep him. But I think that Jalen Hurts, the Philadelphia Eagles went all in on him, and it's going to be interesting to see what type of season he can have.
Yeah, and, you know, either Jalen or Tua could be playing with a rookie teammate wide receiver next year.
Or running back, possibly. To the Dolphins too.
Yeah, because you look at Devontae and whether he goes three or what six for Philadelphia. I think they're picking six. They both teams could end up with either Smith or Waddle, so that'll be interesting to watch too. All right, coming up next hour, Alabama and Maryland. I asked you if you were nervous, but I'm sure you have Alabama moving on, right?
I do have Alabama moving on. And Dalton, you know, while we're talking about all these conferences, the SEC, five teams in the top five when the AP rankings came out this week. That's just unheard of when you start talking about Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Florida. I know we're about to end basketball and really get into baseball and the spring sports, but that's amazing of itself. But Roll Tide tonight for sure.
All right. Should be an awesome year in baseball. And when we get back next week, we'll be in the second round of the Elite Eight. Some more college basketball talk on the way. Coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with your host Jennifer Boozer. And Corey and I will be back same place, same time next week.